to call to order the November 11th, 2010 regular meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Trustees. Welcome, everyone. And I would like to change the order of the agenda to first begin with some special guests who are here tonight. And Mr. Joe Clace is going to begin our presentation. Oh, I'm the pledge. Oh, my goodness. Sherry,
yes?
Would you please give the pledge? I forgot. Thank you.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Sherry.
I'm going to ask Sherry to join me, actually. As you guys are aware, the Parks Advisory Board's been working on creative ways to look at alternative funding. And we thank Vince and his wife, Gina, this evening for joining us and also for their generosity. What we've been trying to put together is a fund through the Delaware County Community Foundation that will allow us to have a tax-deductible grant, essentially, for the township. The funds aren't being directly deposited in township dollars, but what it would allow is us the ability to allocate those to township improvements in the future. It also allows a creative way for a resident or anyone else that wants to donate to our local parks to give an opportunity for them to get a tax deduction for something that they're really they are giving as a charity. So wanted to invite them up for an opportunity to photo with the trustees. Thank them for their generosity. Yeah.
May I just add one thing? Both Gina and Vince do live in the township. Their children live in the township. Their grandchildren live in the township. And they have a rich history of giving back to the community, not only to the community, but to those in need. And I first met Gina when she was giving of her time and talent to a charitable organization a few years ago, and this is what the Romanellis are all about, helping people. And now they've given us a chance to help the community grow. The parks really have a lot of more amenities because people, through this grant, which enables us to now use the Delaware County Fund, it enables people to give tax-deductible contributions to this fund, and the official name is the Genoa Township
Park Improvement Fund.
Park Improvement
Fund. And the initial deposit will be seed, so it will not be spent. It'll be a deposit that will be held for the life of the fund, with the idea that that was our minimum deposit. So we definitely appreciate that. It was one of the big hurdles of starting any new thing, is trying to get over that first hurdle of making sure that you can make it happen. So Sherry and the Park Advisory Board have done a lot of hard work in putting it together, and we're happy to see it come to life. We're happy to see the Genoa Township Gardens likely to be the next contributor to it. In lieu of registration fees, they'll be making donations directly into the Park Improvement Fund, and that way we can actually see additional funds and see the account grow. And I got a meeting with Dick Reno, the chair of the fundraising or alternative funding committee for the Park Improvement or for the Parks Advisory Board, and we're going to sit down and talk about a goal for the year, this coming year. But we're glad it's getting in before tax season. Hopefully, see some donations here before the end of the year as well.
And now that with Gina and Vince's generous contribution, we now have that seed money, $5,000. So then now others can give and take advantage.
And more.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, and
All right.
Well, thank you.
You
take it.
Wow.
Well, like she said, we've been here for 25 years, Genoa Township, and, you know, we got our kids here, we got grandchildren here, and, you know, of course, we like to see the parks, you know, the improvement at the parks, and, you know, we enjoy ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely. 25 years.
Been here 25 years, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's where we live.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Let me roll right into our next one.
Yes.
Okay. I'll ask Scott to come up next. I sit as a rep for the township to the Delaware County Regional Planning Commission, which was my prior employer for a number of years. Carl, you're our alternate. And in addition to just going to meetings, they do a lot of stuff throughout the year. So I'd ask Scott to kind of come and give a synopsis of what's been going on and a little bit about the demographics package that they just published in October, I think it was. Paul's running to grab some copies of it to share. But from the demographics package, it's a opportunity for them to tell a little bit about not just what's happened and where we're at today, but kind of where we're headed. So I thought that'd be kind of an interesting thing to share, and had asked Scott to come. So Scott Sanders, Executive Director of the Delaware County Regional Planning Commission.
Thank you, Scott.
Well, I don't have any money to give you. Sorry, I'm not sure how to follow all that.
We don't have any to give you either. So.
Well, and not only did Joe ask me, but I've been trying to make it to as many communities as I can this year and next year. So I've made about 16 visits so far. This is obviously not Oxford Township where I was 2 days ago and we all sat around a little table in a really cold township hall. But we are the Regional Planning Commission. I'm trying to make contact and let people know what we do. We're the subdivision authority, so we review all the plats and work with your zoning staff to make sure it complies with your local zoning. We do zoning reviews in our meetings whenever a rezoning comes up. You might have seen those minutes as part of your report. We sort of serve as the planning staff for all the townships, so we send a report to the zoning commission. They usually will put that, either the whole report or at least the recommendations, into their minutes as part of their own recommendation. Then we also do no plat lot splits, which is just a fancy term for when somebody wants to split out a lot on an existing street, they don't do a plat. That's an in-house administrative review. Then we do contract work, and we've worked with your township on your comprehensive plan, and then the last go-around we worked on some maps for Joe and the zoning commission. And then we also work on your zoning resolution, which we recently did, reformatted version of that. So you've taken advantage of those services already. We do mapping work, which we've done recently for your fire chief, and we can do a lot of other maps like that. And in fact, that map that we've done for Genoa, I used as a model to show BSTNG, Berkshire, Trenton, Genoa, or Galena, and Sunbury. And they ordered the same exact type of map that shows all the addresses. And then one project that I'm in the middle of working on, it's taken a couple of years to put together, but it's in conjunction with the Economic Development Director, Gus Comstock, who, when he became director, realized that there isn't anything in this county that could be called a strategic plan. We have all these individual township plans, then a lot of the villages and cities have done their own, and we've helped with a couple of those as well. But there's nothing that really brings everything back into one county plan. So I've been doing some background work on that, not anything that would change any of the recommendations in any of the individual plans, but something that talks about the transportation system, which comes from the county engineer's office, but puts it in one place, all the school information in one place, everything that's on the auditor's website, but with an explanation, not just a mapping service. As part of that, it's a long-winded explanation of saying that there's a section of that I've featured each jurisdiction. And so I'm going to leave behind a few samples of that. Again, this is just a draft, and it's going to be web-based, and then this is something different. But every township has a front and back of one of these big sheets. It'll be a PDF on the web, but it has the land use mix. This kind of takes these are individual jurisdictions.
Thank you, John.
Don't rush me. Joe and I have worked together before.
Yeah.
You have to slow Joe down, right? It kind of condenses everybody's comprehensive plan from the big book into this one dumbed down sort of sheet. But once you get all 18 townships and then all the cities and villages together, it will be interesting to flip through. It shows the land use mix with a table and a chart. It shows the effective tax receipts from the auditor and the treasurer. It shows a building permit trend for the last decade. It shows your population growth as we've projected it for the last decade. And then property valuation as determined, again, by the auditor. A map with your existing land use. And then for those townships that have a comprehensive plan, it's printed on the back. It doesn't have all the recommendations, but it's at least the land use map. Right. And this may actually be maybe your old one. I'm still in the middle of updating that. But then it shows the land use today and the build out based on your land use map. And then it shows your build out population, which again is in the back of your plan, and sometimes that's regularly updated even if your plan is several years old. And then your gain in commercial land and gain in industrial based on land use today versus your projection. So what I've been bringing communities is their own profile and then their neighbors. So I brought Orange to your west, and then Harlem Township. So there's quite a difference between those three.
There sure is.
And then since Westerville, since we don't have the kind of authority over villages that we have over townships, I wanted to be consistent with the information that we can provide. So cities and villages only get half a page at this point because they all don't have necessarily a plan. But all that same table of information is there, just not the map of land use. So this is Westerville, and they just happen to be on the same page with Sunbury. So these will all be, my goal is before the end of the year, they'll all be on the web, at least in draft format. And a lot of this, the treasurer's information came from 2008, so I've got to get the most recent update, all these, and then get that published to the web. Joe passed out
go ahead, babe.
This is a demographic package that we publish every year. In October, we do something that features the development trends in March, and then this is the other big report that we do. And it's a pretty thick document, but it all leads to a page near the end, which gives all the population projections per jurisdiction. And then it goes on the next page or two to break that out into school districts as well. So, and there's a lengthy explanation up front that tells how we do that. We use the census information from 2000, and then we estimate based on birth, death, average number of residents per house, which is also determined by the census, and then number of building permits throughout the previous year, and then we build on that each year.
Page
24 is the one that everybody always appreciates looking at, because I know a lot of organizations budget and plan based on those populations. And it'll be interesting to see what the actual census.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping we're close.
That's what I was going to ask. Uh-huh. When do you anticipate that data coming?
I don't personally know, but I know that's starting to come out. Parts of that are already starting to come out. And I don't know when the official report is made. It's usually the spring of the year after the 2010.
Any questions? I'm sorry, go ahead, Scott. Did you have something?
Well, I didn't know if Joe wanted to talk about, or with me, mm-hmm. about a mapping project that we had done, or if you want to save that for later.
Yeah, I don't really have a whole bunch to talk about it. We asked Scott to put together a little history of our zoning maps.
Okay.
And they've done a lot of hard work, and it's sitting in our office right now waiting to be processed. So
okay.
What we're hoping to do is be able to publish on the website the history of zoning back to the end of the 50s when the original zoning code was adopted, mm-hmm. to show land use trends and district changes over time. We get a lot of questions in the office about, you know, prior to my property being zoned, what it was, when did it change, and when things happened. So that'll be an opportunity for us to geographically represent the way the townships changed, not just in the text. If you guys recall, last year we went through and scanned all the old zoning codes and put those up on the mm-hmm. website. This will be a good supplement to that, so we'll have mm-hmm. both of them available. But Scott's office has helped us out, and they've did a lot of hard work in putting all the background data together.
Yes.
And even for us to look at in the office, that's very beneficial. So.
Right, right.
And I think one thing we discovered was that there was a map one year that was the usual type of zoning districts, and then a few years later there was a map where they used patterns and things overlapped, and we didn't really realize until we started putting it in the GIS system that the patterns were probably something like a land use plan, and the shapes were the actual zoning. And so we were able to keep those separate,
mm-hmm.
Because then later those went back away. Those went away. So it's hard to explain without showing you, but I'm sure that you'll see those soon. And I just forgot to mention that we're working on a countywide bike trail map,
mm.
just putting all mm-hmm. the communities together, making sure that all the mapping is accurate for each community, and then giving everybody the opportunity to make sure that those larger regional routes are matching up.
Oh, great, great. Anything else? Questions for Scott? I know I've used the demographic information in the past, so I'm glad to have the updated.
There's a lot of
October 2010.
There's several pages that are kind of new this year. They're just reprints of the American Community Survey, which is what mm-hmm. the census started doing, the long form that people are familiar with, and that's why the real census that everybody got was the short form, because now they do the more detailed information on
mm-hmm.
different years.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a more of a global question: How does Delaware County's regional planning compared to other county regional planning commissions?
Well, we do have a County Planning Directors Association, and I'm a secretary for that group. And it is interesting. We always do a round table, and I'm convinced that everyone is so different in the responsibilities they have that it's almost, uh-huh. it's hard to know. I think we're the most similar to Fairfield County, mm-hmm. maybe.
Oh, okay.
A county planning office is different from a regional, because county planning is directly under the county commissioners,
mm-hmm.
whereas
mm-hmm.
regional planning, they're on our commission, but they're mm-hmm. at the same table with all
mm-hmm.
18 townships and county offices and cities and villages.
Mm-hmm.
So they are very different, and some of them have the MPO responsibilities like MORPC has, so they do transportation planning as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good. I've learned who to bounce questions off of,
mm-hmm.
based on which ones have. I mean, some don't have zoning at all in their county. Some have county zoning but not township zoning. So
okay.
you put a question out there, and you're going to get a lot of answers
uh-huh.
that don't apply. So you kind of have to know who to ask.
Right, right.
Is that
no? Yeah, I'm just
fair?
I was just
yeah.
curious. Sure.
Great. Okay. Anything else?
No.
Thank you, Scott.
Well, thank you for your time.
Tremendous resource. Thank you.
Thank you. Very helpful. All right. Fiscal Officer Myers.
Thank you. First, I'll have you sign everything at the end, if that's okay. First, I would like to present the October financials. Everything is balanced. Cash balance of our total balance of $12,574,125. Of that, $11,499,525.19 in investments, with an operating checking balance of $1,074,599.81. So I'll present these to you, and you guys can sign these at the end.
Okay.
I have several meeting minutes to have approved. Feels like we're past the audio mess-ups and everything else, so I think we're in good shape. But I do have, first would be the September 1st regular trustee meeting minutes.
Madam Chair, I'll offer a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the regular trustee meeting held December 1st, 2010.
September 1st.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, September 1st, 2010.
We're almost there, aren't we?
Yeah. Feels like it.
Second.
Discussion.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carpondi.
Aye.
The motion carries.
Next, I'd like to ask regular trustee meeting of September the 16th.
I'll make a motion to approve the meeting minutes for the regular trustee meeting held September 16th, 2010.
Second. Discussion.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carpondi.
Aye.
September 29th, special trustee meeting.
Okay, I'll move to approve the meeting minutes from the special trustee meeting held September 29th, 2010. Is there a second?
Seconded.
Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carpondi.
Aye.
Next will be the October 4th regular trustee meeting.
Madam Chair, I'll motion to approve the meeting minutes from the regular trustee meeting held October 4th, 2010.
Second.
Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carpagna.
Aye.
Next, the October 14th special trustee meeting minutes.
Make a motion to approve the meeting minutes for the special trustee meeting held October 14th.
Second. Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carpagna.
Aye.
Next, November 1st special trustee meeting.
I'll move to approve the meeting minutes from the special trustee meeting held November 1st, 2010. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carpagna.
Aye.
That's all the minutes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Meetings. I do have a couple of purchase orders I'd like to ask approval for. First is the then and now purchase order to DataPath, Inc. for $4,341.79 is for the funding of the health savings account transactions.
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to approve a then and now purchase order to DataPath, Inc. in the amount of $4,341.79 for the October 2010 HSA transactions.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carpagna.
Aye.
Next, I have a purchase order, then and now purchase order. There's computer equipment needed in the zoning department. We went ahead and purchased that equipment. So then and now purchase order for $3,399.93.
Madam Chair, I'll motion to approve a then and now purchase order to Delaware County Bank in the amount of $3,399.93 for a zoning computer purchase.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Can you just summarize what this is a purchase? I mean, is this a computer we're going to have on site? I'm trying to understand what what this computer purchase is. Mr. Clay, I'm sorry. The Delaware County Bank for a zoning computer purchase.
For the computer purchase, Joe.
This was upgrades to the zoning department, the development zoning office computers. We had budgeted this year for computer upgrades. So I believe this is two computers and some accessories for our new park manager to set up their office as well as it's for upgrade for Vicky and myself to update two computers that had been a little outdated.
Is it just general software? Is there any special like zoning type of, I don't know, applications?
It was a laptop, desktop, and three monitors, okay. And also some accessories, the keyboard and mouse, that type of stuff. But yeah, it was it just accumulated quite a bit because it was all one part of one big purchase.
Okay. What was the purchase order for the Delaware County Bank?
That's our credit card.
Okay.
Yeah, the purchase was on the credit card, and the fiscal office came back and said we need to do it then and now, and we'll pay it that way. So it is a purchase order.
Okay. I'm not used to spending that much, so.
What happens if you? Can
I'm
I ask?
Used to seeing you spend that much.
Can I ask what happens? What do we do with the old equipment?
The old stuff was given to PD. Some of our monitors, they had the old tube monitors, so they now have the flat screen that we had had before. We upgraded to a larger size mainly because of our mapping. Right. We've been getting more demand for larger screens so that we can actually see things. So, the other units will be placed. They'll be reformatted and placed as backups. I believe one of them will be installed in here with the projector. Down the road for the idea that when we have meetings, we won't have to haul computers in here for presentations.
Okay. Joe, can I ask a question? At one point, we had purchased a laptop for myself, and I gave it back.
Yes.
And Jonathan was using that.
Yeah, that's our park manager's computer. We purchased some accessories to go with that to make it feel more like a desktop when he's in the office.
Right.
Because the screen was pretty small.
A docking station and things like that.
Yeah, it came with a larger monitor, something to be able to see.
Also, I'll make some comments after you're done.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Any other comments on that discussion? Sure. Okay.
I'm done.
We got to vote.
Sorry. Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Parfagna.
Aye.
Motion carries.
It's those discussions that, you know, throw us off track.
Anything else?
I'm done.
All right. At this time, I am going to move to consideration of the TIF agreement. We have our attorneys here, and first, attorney Stephen Grassbaugh, who is an expert on tax increment financing agreements and all that opaque stuff.
I'm always worried when somebody calls me an expert.
Good evening. To talk about a very innocuously titled resolution, which is the resolution amending a resolution adopted on December 25th, 1995, and approving and authorizing the execution and of a settlement and compensation agreement. That innocuous resolution is the culmination of about 2 years that I know that this has been going on, and first I would like to thank the board for retaining me to help you with this transaction, and more happily, I'm thankful that this transaction is coming to a close, and a successful close. For those in the audience, the 1995 resolution was the enactment of a TIF that the township did. That TIF was going to be running for 20 years. It was TIFing 50% of the value of the increased value of property that was developed. That TIF has helped pay for improvements around Maxtown Road over the years. And in the last few years, there's been a few controversies about the TIF with competing interests by the city of Westerville, the township, and the school district. As you may or may not realize, a TIF is not really a exemption for the property owner. They're paying the same amount that they would have paid in taxes. It's just the money is being redirected to be used for specific capital improvements. In this case, capital improvements benefiting the township. Some of those capital improvements were built by the city of Westerville on behalf of the township. And whenever you're talking about redirecting tax monies, usually you're talking about redirecting the city school district's tax money. So they would like to see the TIF end. The city has been wanting to have payment for improvements that have been done. And at the same time, the township wanted to retain sufficient revenues to do further capital improvements in the area. And I would like to say a big thanks should go to the leadership of this board, the leadership of the city of Westerville, and the leadership of the school district, because they truly put together sort of a win-win solution to the controversies. What they have agreed to do is extend the TIF for 10 years. increased the amount of the TIF, so it went from 50 to 100%. That enabled us to have revenues for the township to fulfill what they want to do in terms of capital improvements. It allows us to help reimburse the school district for some of the some of their tax revenues that were redirected during the first 20 years of this program, and also allows us to end the controversy with the city of Westerville by paying them a sum of money. So what this resolution does is amend the old resolution that set up the TIF to extend it and authorizes the township administrator to sign an agreement that does this. I would be happy to report that the school district has already approved this agreement, and the city council has already approved this agreement. So we're the last of the three entities to approve the agreement, but we'll be the first of the three entities to sign the agreement. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
I would like to thank Trustee Carfagna for being a representative from the board on the TIF, and he attended the meetings and did a fine job. And Attorney Grassbaugh too, you've been great.
And I forgot to thank Mr. Griggs in the back, because without his knowledge of the township and the environment around here, I would have been lost. And he has been very helpful to me throughout this transaction and helped with the negotiations.
Right. So. Attorney Pete Griggs
yes.
deserves a lot of thanks, too. Thank you, Pete.
Madam Chair, I do have several comments to make. Thank you, Mr. Grassbaugh. That's about as clear and succinct summary as I think anyone could expect.
Thank you.
This is certainly very complete. The TIF is something that's very complex to even explain. The ongoing dispute is even more complex to try to explain. I do want to say that the past 11 months, this has been the subject of some very intense discussions. It is not something that any of us took lightly. I know that our board, we did our due diligence. We researched this all individually, and I'm glad we at least reached the same conclusion as to the importance of preserving the TIF. And I do believe that preserving the TIF makes our township stronger. It allows us to take control of our own destiny. And quite frankly, there were certain issues that had to be confronted. And if we didn't try to shape the outcome and resolve those matters ourselves, we risked decisions being made for us, quite frankly. So trying to think of, I do want to recognize, again, my fellow board members, Carl and Barb. This is a major policy decision, and I just thank you for your cooperation on this and for allowing me to kind of represent our board on this. I do want to recognize Bruce Bailey, who is the Westerville Law Director, and Dave Collinsworth, who is the city manager. They were very amicable. We were all able to kind of sit mm-hmm. and have some very honest, frank discussions. It was a lot of talking with each other, not to each other, which mm-hmm. I think is key. Mm-hmm. And lastly, I do want to recognize Kevin Hoffman mm-hmm. from the Westville School Board, who took the lead on his board's behalf, Scott Gooding, the district treasurer, and Mark Gillis, their counsel as well. So it's
we do have a, you want to explain the press release? We have a press release.
Oh, we do, yeah. Mr. Weiss has we did coordinate with, without trying to be too presumptuous, and I guess I would probably ask us to vote on the matter first.
Yes.
But
that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
Gee, as long as we get the press release.
Right.
That might be nice, right?
Yeah. Right. But we do have a release that was written jointly with the district and with the city. In the spirit of cooperation, we do want to share that with the media. Following the conclusion of this matter.
Before we vote, are there any questions from the audience or any comments? Yes, Bonnie.
So it started in 99. It was 95. It started in
95.
We've gone 20 years, so that would have been 2015.
And now it'll go for another 10 years.
So 2025.
Yes. And truly, when we started this, we had all the jurisdictions had not talked to each other about this issue for a long time.
That's right.
And we started in almost a three-ring corner matching, and I will commend all the jurisdictions for their willingness to sit down, talk through the issues, and be creative to come up with a solution that would not give any jurisdiction everything they wanted, but was able to compromise with all the jurisdictions came out ahead.
One thing that I do want to clarify, when you talked about expanding the TIF from to yield more revenues, we are not talking about increasing taxes.
Oh, no.
I don't want to mislead anyone. Right now, again, the TIF is collected on 50% of the value of the improvements to those properties under the 10-year extension. So this isn't even going to be starting until after 2015. It will collect on 100% of the value of those improvements. So we're going to be essentially setting aside, more money will be diverted into this fund. And this fund is obviously set aside for public improvements that would benefit that designated area.
Right. So Genoa Township will have more money as a result of this agreement.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. To do more public improvements than you would have had
right.
the TIF expired. And also, as we know, there were competing requests on those TIF revenues, and had they been successful, we would have had a lot less.
It's
really worked out very well for everyone.
It's a development tool for our township.
Right.
I mean, that's as simple as I can put it. And this agreement will provide our township with financial certainties. So now we can start doing some long-range planning as to that area. We're already talking. We've obviously got those easements from the city now. Well, part of this agreement, we'll have those easements to start talking about potential trail extensions. Any kind of improvements that are going to benefit the businesses and the residents in that area.
I think, if I could, the TIF area, and I don't know if we mentioned where that is. I mean, basically, we're talking the northeast corner of Maxtown and Route 3, the Kroger, Home Depot,
Northgate development.
Right. So, and I think, you know, what Steve said is true, and Rick. I mean, there really was a lot of hard feelings, contentious issues out there, and you know, when 70% of our township, I think, is taken in by Westerville School District, our neighbors to the south, city of Westerville, I think this would be a great first step in some new administration with the school, the city, the township, in moving forward in a positive direction. I mean, not that we're still not going to have issues, but this has really, I think, helped open the door in the communications.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it sure has. Any other questions? Okay. At this time, then, Trustee Carfagna, I think you should make.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just trying to think of the best way to do this. I will move that our board adopts the following resolution. It's a resolution, again, amending a resolution adopted on December 23rd, 1995, and approving and authorizing the execution of a settlement and compensation agreement. And then the body of which is contained in the document before you.
Is there any necessity to read through the
final?
Okay. Or you would be here for about, we'll be glad to
give.
Yes, it's three pages of full print, so.
Madam.
Yes.
I'll second that motion.
Discussion.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you again, everyone, for your work. Thank you very much, Rick.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Steve. And everyone.
We'll go right to that one.
Was that another one?
Oh, is it on there?
That's a different one.
We have one more. Steve, if you could just wait one more second. Good. All right. We have another motion then to put into effect.
Should we deal with that now?
I think we'll go ahead and I'll offer the motion. This motion is going to be, as I said, as Mr. Raspall indicated, that we obviously reached a settlement with the city of Westerville. That settlement is going to be paid out over the course of 6 years, starting this year, and the first payment of which will be this evening. So accordingly, I'd like to go ahead and motion to authorize TIF settlement and compensation agreement by and among Genoa Township, Delaware County, Ohio, and the City of Westerville, Ohio, and the Westerville City School District. At this time, the Board of Trustees authorizes our fiscal officer to issue a purchase order to the City of Westerville in the amount of $375,000. $375,081.60.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there discussion?
And Madam Chair, just again, this is money that will be paid out of the TIF fund.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I believe there is close to $1 million is the balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's 900,000 plus.
Right.
We have structured it so that the first couple of years will be a little bit. It's front loaded, I guess.
Higher
term.
It's too higher.
It's front loaded in the first 2 years. Mm-hmm. So you know, this is obviously a high payment, but it will be significantly different in subsequent years.
Any further discussion? Anything to add, Steve? Okay.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfon.
Aye.
Motion carries. Any other TIF motions? No, I don't see any. Okay.
Good.
Thank you very much. At this time, is there any other public comment? I kind of skipped over public comment. Okay, no other public comment. Okay, all right. Okay, we will resume our regular agenda then with new business, please.
Did you?
Chief Taylor.
I'd like to begin tonight thanking our fire department along with three other fire departments. Harlem, Westerville, and Berlin. We had a walkaway tonight, 94-year-old Alzheimer patient walked away from his residence on Lake Woods Point, and we didn't get the call until about a year or hour and a half after he walked away. But after we arrived, we called the fire departments in. Mm-hmm. They came in with all the fire departments, two boats. Columbus Police Department's helicopter came in to assist us.
Okay.
And about a half hour after everyone arrived, Craig Skeel, Lieutenant Skeel, found the individual a couple houses away. He was just in the breezeway sitting down watching all the pretty fire trucks and police cars drive by, and he thought it was a party. And it was a successful search, and Gary and his personnel came through like gangbusters. It was a nice team effort.
Oh, boy. So, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
We had, we all thought this was not going to end up good, but it did.
Did you send divers in?
Well, we never sent divers in the water. We were going with utilizing the side sonar scanners.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Trying to think of
location. Sure.
That was very encouraging, the team effort put forth. The first agenda I'd like to table until next week, or next meeting, the cruiser trade-in purchase.
Okay.
There is one I would like to add. The township policy indicates that employees can only carry over half of their vacation, and this pertains to Sherry Thacker. Sherry currently has accrued 196 hours. She could, and she could accrue 180 hours, but she has accrued a balance of 196 hours. So she is about 106 hours over her allotted carryover. So I would like to, it's either that or have her take vacation now or have her pay her out about 106 hours. But I would make this recommendation that we allow her to carry the vacation hours over.
Chief, over those numbers again.
She has accrued a balance of 196.26 hours.
Okay.
She can accrue 180 hours, so she could carry over 90. but she has carried over 196.26 hours. Okay. Did I confuse you? Confuse myself.
180 or 108?
Yeah.
She can accrue up to 180 hours.
180.
So the difference is 16.26.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay,
that's,
so we're just...
Yes, 16.26.
Right.
Yes. That's
okay.
Where I was.
Okay.
It's not 106 carried over 16.26.
16.26.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Is there a specific request? I mean, are you requesting either or, either pay it out
I
or
am requesting
over?
The carryover.
Okay. I'll move then that Sherry Thacker can carry over 16.26 hours of her accrued vacation time into next year, 2011.
That's correct.
Any other?
Actually, Barb, she has 196 hours. That's correct. So she can carry over 196.26 hours.
Okay. Right.
Yes.
Total.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Right. Right. Which would result in a carryover 196.26 hours.
That's correct.
Versus the 180 that she
yes.
would be allowed. Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. Okay. Is there a second to the motion?
Yeah.
I'll second the motion.
Discussion?
Do we have any other officers that are approaching, exceeding those limits, I guess?
We do, and I don't know how many. Not that many. I just can't think of
That's
them
fine.
Right
I
now,
just,
but
I didn't know
we had... We, well, the reason it is going to be a labor negotiation issue, but in the past we have allowed the officers to do so.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Chief.
Roll call.
Roll call. Mr. Gebhardt?
Aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And one other motion with Larry Dixon.
Yes.
Okay. I'll move to accept the resignation of Larry Dixon from the Genoa Township Police Department effective January 7th, 2011. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Discussion. Larry is retiring.
He is retiring. He retired from Worthington, and then he came over to us about 8 years ago as our school resource officer.
Yes.
And he was the first school resource officer at Genoa Middle, and then he transferred to the high school. So we're losing a lot of experience.
Right. He's done a great job.
He has done a very good job.
Very fine job.
Yes.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Thank you. With Larry's departure, that leaves us with one opening. School, for sure. We are going to transfer Patrol Officer Joey Graham to Central High School. Joey has had the training. And he's very enthusiastic about it.
Okay.
So that's our move. With Joey's departure, it's going to leave us one patrol position open. And to maintain our proactive approach to protecting the community, I would request permission to replace Joey's position with one of our part-time officers. It would not be an addition. It would just be a replacement. And I sent you a letter, Barb. You should have it in there.
Yes, we need a copy.
It lists the salary, proposed salary. That's the starting salary of a new employee. The $41,308.80 is the beginning salary of a new officer.
You know, I think the problem is we just saw this. Did you see it ahead of time? I don't think we saw it ahead of time.
Do we need to vote on Patrol Officer Graham?
No, you do not.
Okay.
No, that's
okay.
Just an internal law transfer.
Oh, okay. So we don't even have to...
Well, you do have to vote on replacing Joy with a new officer.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it's, like you said, we're not adding another position. It is a replacement, so there'll be no additional
That's correct.
Cost.
Yes. And actually, okay. With Larry's departure,
it's probably a reduction.
It's a reduction.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to do so.
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to maintain our current patrol coverage, make a motion to fill Joey Graham's position by elevating one of the part-time officers.
And the part-time officer will be Sean Combs.
Okay. And the effective date would be December 5th, 2010, with a starting salary of $41,308.80.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Discussion.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Farfani.
Aye.
Motion
Thank
carries.
You. We have two outstanding part-time officers. One of the officers is Ryan Parson, sitting in front of you today. And eventually it's our hope to elevate Ryan, but Sean had just a little more experience than Ryan did. He used to be an officer up at Put-in Bay. And so he had just a slight amount of experience, more so than Ryan.
Uh-huh.
So again, Ryan, it's our hope to eventually elevate you. But thank you, folks.
Okay.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Thank you, Ryan, for your service.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Okay, maintenance.
The first thing on the agenda is to purchase a asphalt grinder for our case skid steer. This came about, I was doing some pricing and checking for next year's budget. They're usually around $25,000 new, and Southeastern has one that'll fit our skid steer, and they will sell it to us this year. They have a discount right now, and they can get it down to $13,930, I think it says.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think that's a real good price, especially since this year we had to rent one for $1,600 four times. They cost that much to rent. So we spent about $6,400 in renting it for, we only had about 3 weeks and paid that much. And also with the way the maintenance is going to get more busy in the future here in doing our own grinding and stuff all the time, if I had a grinder, we would do more longitudinal cracks, repair them in-house, and I think it'd be a very, very wise purchase, seeming since we can get so cheap right now. Now, it is totally up to the board. We do have money available in the budget this year, and I know it wasn't budgeted, but we do have money left over in the account to buy this. And we would be saving about almost half of what a new one really costs.
Okay.
Bob, I know you said that you rented four times this year. Is that common? I mean, how many times? Is that an aberration or is that pretty normal?
That would be not a normal one. We could have rented good six or seven more times this year to do stuff that are failing, but we chose not to rent it then. We only did the four times that was really needed.
How about in previous years though? I mean,
we've used the grinder three or four or five times every year since I've been here.
Okay, so it'll pay for itself.
With what we're paying in rental, yes.
Right. Okay.
But like I say, we We can't wait till next year if the board would choose to do that. I was just trying to save the additional cost next year.
Well, and there's no guarantee that you'll get it for this price next year.
Right. No, there is not.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve a purchase order to Southeastern Equipment Company, Inc. in the amount of $13,930 for a Kona Tech Universal Grinder Model number AP450HD. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second the motion.
Is there discussion?
I take it that we can use this grinder, obviously, it's for our roads.
Yes, it's for any asphalt. It will plane off up to 6 inches deep.
Right. I just know we had our road levy committee meeting last night, and the board was asked to attend to listen to some of the research that's been done. And not knowing the outcome of that, I suspect there's going to have to be some sacrifices made, some tough decisions made. So I guess one way to look at it is this grinder can help us. This grinder will help us regardless. Yep. So if we have to put any projects on hold, this will help in some way.
No, and Bob, I appreciate the fact that you were able to get this basically at half price through your negotiations. I guess it's also good to hear that there is a need out there. I think sometimes I think we're criticized for finding, looking for a problem to solve. And so we buy equipment and then we look for something to do with it. And I think in this case, the need appears to be there. And so we're trying to solve a problem as opposed to spending money on something and then looking for how we're going to use it. So.
It came up last night. The first thing I'll do with this next year is down on Medallion Drive East.
Right.
Take all those inverted speed humps out.
Right. Now, Bob, who gets the complaints? I assume you're going to be doing this after 9 o'clock in the morning, because grinders traditionally are kind of loud.
They are very loud.
So I don't mind riding snow plows. I think it would be great for Trustee Lewis to experience riding the grinder.
Now this thing really looks like a lot of fun. Gee.
Yeah. Be sure to put a lid on that cup of coffee.
Gee, thanks so much, fellow trustees. Yeah.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Mr. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfone.
Aye.
The next item would be a purchase order to Sciota Materials for $3,000. To repair for asphalt on the Big One and South Old Tree C Highway intersection out here. We're going to start Monday. We're using the plans that were done by the county about 10 years ago, and we are going to run 24-inch storm sewer across the intersection and then up the north side of Big One as far up as we can before we run out of money. We have $10,000 on a purchase order. We're going to buy as much pipe as we can with that. We had leftover from another project we didn't spend, so we were just going to put it on Big Walnut and try to relieve the water problem on Big Walnut around where the McNamara pipe comes out right now to Big Walnut.
Right, and we've had definitely complaints from residents who live along Big Walnut.
Yes,
and you'll see whenever we have rain again. You'll see the
this $3,000 purchase order is additional to one I have already opened. This has about $9,000 left on it. But we're going to cross the road out here in two different places, and we had to put back 9 inches thick asphalt for the county standard. So that's why we're going to spend that kind of money on asphalt.
I don't know if you want
to. Why don't we make a motion and discussion? Is there a motion?
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to purchase a purchase order Approve a purchase order to Scioto Materials in the amount of $3,000 for asphalt for Big Walnut Road and South Old 3C Highway.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion.
Bob, I assume you say you're going to build this pipe for as long as you have money. And is there a need to extend it? I mean, is this a phase one of a two- or a three-phase project, or are we...
I don't think the $10,000 will buy enough pipe to get as far as west as we need to go. It will get a majority of it, but I think we can finish it up next year at a relatively low figure. I just have to see how far we can get with the money we have right now.
So you don't think we can get to Orange Township?
No.
Okay.
Where is the water being diverted to?
The water, we're going to tie into the 30-inch that the county ran last year from the ditch out here up to the intersection. And we're tying onto that catch basin and going across the intersection diagonally to the north side.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, someone else is here.
Okay.
Great.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfani.
Aye.
And the last purchase order is for McCoy Paving to install that asphalt at the crossings that we make, and the total figure is $8,000. I will tell you, the board, that I am going to try to get, since I think we're going to move in the direction of doing more patching and stuff, I'm going to try to get some training for some guys so we can do that instead of having to contract it out all the time. I think it would be cheaper for us. Mm-hmm. I just don't think we got the people right now trained enough to put asphalt down the way it should be so you don't feel like you're on a washboard. But that is my goal.
We have a grinder now. We can do that.
Yes.
No, that's smart. I don't mean to make light of it. But yeah. No, that's...
Okay. Is there a motion to approve purchase order to McCoy Paving?
Make a motion to approve a purchase order to McCoy Paving in the amount of $8,000 for paving for Big Walnut Road and South Old 3C Highway.
Second. Discussion?
I guess two questions. Do you anticipate the work? You may have already said it. When is the work going to commence?
We are going to start Monday.
We're going to start Monday.
Oh, Monday.
You know, I'm thinking of like Janelle Lawn Center or the corner. Is this anything that is going to disrupt? Obviously, you're going to be working in the roadway.
The only thing that's going to disrupt is traffic.
Okay.
We are going to try to maintain with flagmen the whole time we're out during the day working and still plate it at night. Okay. Only thinking it'll take us about 2 or 3 days to get across the intersection. So we'll get it put back right away next week. I think we'll be totally out of the intersection and up the road, going up the road in a week.
So there won't be any disruption. I mean, we're not closing intersections.
No, we're not going to close anything. We're going to try to do it with it open. We're going to flag traffic.
Okay. Flag traffic. Okay. Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfani.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Development and zoning. Mr. Clay.
I just had a couple items tonight. I'm actually not looking for a vote on either one. They're both kind of updates. The second one I would like some guidance on. Well, actually, both of them I kind of like some guidance on before we do too much more work. The first one was a sidewalk construction, repair, and maintenance policy. We've been experiencing increasing complaints regarding individual private sidewalks along roadways. And part of the statute would provive for property owners being responsible for the maintenance of it. And that's existing today, the higher vice code. What we're looking at trying to do is create a standard, some way to say yours is bad and yours isn't. And I've done a couple of these walks over in Highland Lake South here recently, just trying to get a gauge on what's reasonable and what's not. Sent out emails to a whole bunch of colleagues in other places asking them what type of thing they put in place, and I found a really good one in Orange Township, just to our left.
After all your work.
Yeah, actually, they adopted this identical policy. We've reworked some of the language just to make it work for the township, but they've adopted this back in 2007. It's been working for them. It was written by their private legal counsel, so I have it in front of our prosecutor's office today for review. And since they have not seen this before, they're going to probably be taking some time to read through it. So I don't expect it to be something we're adopting this year, but I would encourage any comments on it that we can get those incorporated as it's getting reviewed, and also any questions or concerns. More than anything else, it's nice writing a policy, I guess, that puts a lot of responsibility on a coworker. But Bob's going to have a lot to, or him or a designee is going to have a lot as we receive complaints. But just like a zoning code or anything else, as long as we're staying on top of it, this really won't be that much of an cumbersome type thing. The big thing is just being able to answer the phone and say your standard is, and it actually provides in here for how big of a gap there would be allowed in a sidewalk, how much grade difference. And when you go through Highland Lake South, you can actually see trees have pushed up, curbs have pulled away. And as this happened, it does create a dangerous environment, especially in the morning for kids maybe walking a sidewalk to get to a bus stop, or someone just trying to travel when it's not clearly visible. Even with the leaves on it, it was kind of hard to see some of the grade differences. So I was born and raised up in the Ashley area, and I can tell you the 3-foot grade difference they have in sidewalk is definitely not a desirable thing. So I don't want to see us get that that way. So,
Trustee Gephardt.
Yeah, just a procedural question. In here, it talks about there's two ways of getting that fixed, or a sidewalk fixed. If you notify the homeowner or the abutting property owners, and they can go ahead and fix it based on standards you provide.
Right.
If they choose not to, and we take that responsibility on, we have to go through what seems to be a rather lengthy bureaucratic process of working through 3 public notices, getting approval from the county engineer. Am I reading that correct? Or?
Yeah, this is actually, based on the way I understand it, this is what we would be advised to do today if we went in with an individual complaint. So resident A complains about resident B and that they've done something to damage the sidewalk in front of their property, or that it's happened naturally. If they refuse to fix it, there is a process, but this is the legally defensible process that Orange Township's laid out, and generally one that at least our prosecutors advise that we would want to follow something similar.
So the homeowner, though, they can, I mean, we provide them the standards and they fix it.
Yeah. It's much like a nuisance. The way I understand it, a lot of the legal notices, the things that go out, those are going to end up being expended back to a lien, essentially through this process. And it's something that's to their benefit not to go through that, because there's going to be an added cost in the end. So much like when we declare tall grass, this is the same type of declaration.
Right.
What we're really trying to say is that we want you to cooperate, and here's the standard that we're looking for. It's an opportunity for us to approach them kindly before it goes to that type of thing.
Is there a reason why we have to go through the county engineer and the public notice, as opposed where if the landowner did it, I mean, they just do it? I mean, I know it's right. It's not something that you can, because it is in a revised code, and I read it, and it's very clear in here, but it almost seems like that.
I think it's the expert thing. I think that basically for townships that they don't look that we would have an engineer on staff. And what they're really looking for is the support for the thing, make sure it's installed the right way and maintained the right way.
Okay, thanks.
So not really looking at too much more unless if you guys have other questions.
I it's just more of just a concern. And it stems, again, from all the discussions about the roads, and I know we approved that equipment purchase for that concrete chainsaw because we're having problems with the expansion joints. And what I'm getting at is, you know, there are engineering specs in here that I want to make sure are up to date, mm-hmm. I guess. When we're talking about the roads, those came down from the county. The county adopted the city of Columbus's, and they turned out to be, you know, less than ideal over time. I just want to make sure that not only Bob or, you know, anybody else, maybe with the engineer's office, has reviewed this and made sure that, you know.
Yeah, they were the ones that guided us to Orange, so I'm hoping that they're 100% to par, but I will make sure that they read through it one last time before we adopt it.
I would appreciate that, because even though it was adopted in 2007, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, if they just cut and pasted these specs from some
right.
old
right.
document, I just want to avoid putting, you know, building sidewalks right. and then they, you
okay.
know, they crumble over there.
I'll make sure we get their comments as well. I would anticipate coming back to you guys probably in January or February, at some point before spring. I've let mm-hmm. complainants know that, you know, the process isn't going to be as quick because we just haven't gotten, we aren't as aged a community as some others have been. So as communities start to age, it's going to be a growing demand for this.
Okay.
Okay. If there's no other questions on that, the other item I gave you was a memorandum outlining some conversations that I've had with First Merit. I talked with Fiscal Officer Pat Myers early on about different ways that we receive revenue in the office, and that the ability to accept credit cards goes a long way when someone's reluctant to fill out a application, or sometimes when they're just not financially able to. Not everything's about building in the world of zoning. Sometimes it's about variances and the oops factor where they've done something that they may not have wanted to. So the one thing we were talking about was trying to be more flexible with the way that we could receive payment. And part of doing that would be to look at a credit card policy where we could receive and we would charge back a service fee for the use of the card. It would be something that would be a standard set percentage or dollar amount. What I kind of tried to do was summarize a meeting that I was very confused after sitting down with the bank and talking about all the different yeah. service fees and things that you incur on the bank side and trying to talk about what that would mean to us. In the long run, I think what I really tried to say with the different scenarios that I laid out was I don't really know what the best one's going to be until we start doing it. It looks like either way, if we utilize the reason why I purchased approach First Merit, it looks like they're going to be holding our accounts for checking mm-hmm. and savings. In the aspect of doing that, they're going to be the ones that would likely want to be receiving the funds because it would go directly into our account, no lag period or anything like that. So we approach them. I have reason to suspect that the fees are probably accurate with what we would see with others. But what I'm going to ask is that we work with the fiscal office to try to fine-tune this. If it's something you guys think is worthwhile, it'd be something that we would have to incorporate into our fee schedule. So I'd be looking at doing that on the 1st of January. But this service would be something that would be administered at the front desk of administration, and it would be available to other offices if they had somebody that said, we want to use a credit card. Well, just stop by administration office between 8 and 4:30 on a regular work day, and we'll be able to take care of that request for them as well. So,
are there other payments made? I mean, we don't handle tickets here or anything. I mean, so it's primarily zoning, I would assume.
Yeah, we're the only ones making money. Is that what you're saying?
They're making money. They're just not having to worry about collecting.
Sure.
We got a check for about
But we don't actually collect it ourselves.
From the way I understand, a lot of the sales that go on would be actual copy sales, requests for reports, and that would be something that we may be able to work out. Something we don't think for a small request of 50 cents we're going to be wanting to scan a credit card, but we may be able to work within other departments to try to understand how we could arrange a fee schedule to make a credit card transaction work. I know we talked about cemetery fees and other things
shelter
that may
rentals.
Come up. Rentals is definitely a big one. We're able to do reversals on it. The question would just come back about the service fee and making sure we're clear that that's something that's the township's
so credit card slash debit card. I mean, it's merchant one and the processing. Same, right?
Yeah.
I have one comment about it. This is what I used to do for a living a long time ago. there's really no downside to it. I mean, you're insured through the bank and all the different things. It's not a revenue generator for us. It's not. People are going to come in and say, I want this zoning. Since I can use my credit card, I'll buy something else. It's not like a restaurant or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it is a convenience. Delco Water does it, AEP does it, all those other people mm-hmm. do it. They add a little bit to it if you do your fee. I had questions with Joe about this proposal. We're doing a lot of this with First Merit. Mm-hmm. And I think we can tweak some of these mm-hmm. things. And I'd be happy to have that conversation with Joe, with this person, and say, should we really be paying these set of fees? And, you know, that type of stuff. So,
sure.
But I would endorse the fact that I take it. I brought up to Joe, and I'm going to bring up tonight as well, is we even take cash at the counter, and there's cash coming to Don and comes to mm-hmm. my office. I'd love to be able to say, we don't take cash. Mm-hmm. It might not be a lot of money, but it's money, and it's mm-hmm. floating around between offices and stuff. It's just silly. Right. I don't think we need to do that. Everyone carries a debit card or a credit card or something. if we don't go crazy on the fee, it's about $10 to charge 10.
Yeah, and I talked with Auditor Kitespot. Their fee, they have a percentage rolled onto your property tax if you want to pay on mm-hmm. that. That fee can get pretty hefty, upward of mm-hmm. $60, $70, $80.
Right.
A lot of times the actual purchaser, the one that's utilizing the card, is getting a payback. So there's some incentive, so it's not really a dead mm-hmm. cost to them. A lot of times they're actually seeing a 1% payback or something like that on their card too.
Oh,
a lot of people are doing business by credit card. We get the question occasionally in the office. I think we'd get a lot more if we were actually starting to utilize it of can I pay this on a card?
Right. Oh, I think it's a good idea. We definitely need I would definitely be in favor of pursuing that. And I think it's a good idea too, Pat, for your conversation with First Merit.
I think so.
Yeah.
I would agree.
I think some of it, yeah.
This is the first proposal, right?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
We'll work with the fiscal office to try to get a proposal together before the end of the year. That'd be get it in our fee schedules. And if you guys have any comments as well on that, we can get those incorporated. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's all I have tonight.
Okay. Fire.
Nothing. Thank you.
Nothing. Oh, my gosh. Thanks. Okay.
Thank you, Gary.
Administrator-wise.
Good evening.
Good evening.
First off, I'd like to ask the board to accept the resignation of Ron Kyle from the Parks Advisory Board, since he's been hired as our park manager.
Madam Chair, I'll motion to accept the resignation of Ronald J. Kyle from the Genoa Township Parks Advisory Board, effective October 30th. 2010.
Okay, second. Is there discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carpano.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Also, we've been instructed by the prosecutor's office we do not need a resolution concerning the Community Foundation Legacy Fund, so no further resolution needed on that issue.
Okay. That's where our check is, where the Romanelli's check is going.
That's correct. Okay. Next off, the county commissioners have asked the township trustees to appoint a person to act on the Delaware County 911 Technical Advisory Committee. The township's required pursuant to statute for appointing a member to serve on this technical committee. The committee is made up of some very technical-minded people with computer backgrounds. And at this time, I'd like to recommend Craig Skeel to serve as the Genoa Township's member on the Technical Advisory Committee to the Delaware County Commissioners 911 Board.
Okay, is there a motion to do so?
Madam Chair, I make a motion that we recommend Lieutenant Craig Skeel to be our representative to the Delaware County 911 Planning Committee.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
Discussion?
Technical Advisory Board. Thank you.
Okay, is there a second?
Seconded.
Trustee Carpania. Okay.
Roll call, Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carpania.
Aye.
Motion carries. Good appointment.
Thank you. And I'll send the Jennifer Wall-Raven, the clerk of the commissioners, a letter stating that Craig is our appointee by resolution this evening. Next, I'd like to ask the trustees to accept a proposal this evening for some training, for supervisory training for fire department, police department, maintenance department, zoning department, supervisors within that, those departments, namely the fire lieutenants and deputy chief, the police sergeants and lieutenants, the maintenance department crew leader, the buildings and ground crew leader, and Mr. Clace. The proposal this evening is for a firm called Pradco. Pradco has been around since 1955, serving the Cleveland, Columbus areas on specialized training. The township would be working together with Liberty Township and Orange Township to send our supervisory employees to this training in the effort to have shared services, combined trainings. The new effort in state at the state levels to combine services to save money, and that's what our goal is, to get as many of our employees together and share the cost of the training. By getting all three townships together, we could save $1,000 per session of training, which there's an initial analysis of the individuals, self testing of the individuals, and then there's a series of five months of trainings, one half day session per month, where the joint Genoa, Orange, and Liberty employees will be sitting together in training through the Pradco with the Pradco professionals. The breakdown of the training is attached to your materials there, and it's self-explanatory how it's broken down. I'd like to ask you if you have any questions about the training itself, or
I don't have any questions.
No, I don't either. Is there a motion to approve?
Madam Chair, I'll motion to enter into agreement with Pradco for leadership training with Orange and Liberty Townships and authorize the fiscal officer to issue a purchase order to Pradco in the amount of $11,141.
I'll second. Is there a discussion?
I'm just glad to see us partnering with other jurisdictions.
Right.
I think that's key to this whole thing. And also, you know, we've seen a changing of the guard tonight with our school resource officer, and you know, just goes to show you know, you have to have an eye on the future and start identifying who some of our future leaders are within our ranks.
Develop their skills.
Absolutely.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Califano.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. That's all I have this evening.
All right. Thank you. Announcements. There is a Homeowners Association Roundtable November 15th at 6 p.m. There's a Board of Zoning Appeals meeting on November 16th at 7 p.m. There's a Finance and Audit Committee meeting November 18th at 5:30 p.m. There's a Parks Advisory Board meeting on November 23rd, 7 p.m. Offices are closed for Thanksgiving on both Thursday the 25th and Friday the 26th. There's a Parks Advisory Board open house December 1st at 7. That's here at the Township Hall. Okay. And the next regular trustee meeting is on December 2nd at 2010, 7 p.m. Is there another?
One more meeting that we announced last night at the, at the Road Levy Committee meeting. There's a Road Levy Committee meeting next Tuesday the 16th at 7 p.m. in the Township offices.
Okay. Are there any other announcements? Anyone?
Well, I have a couple observations, but I don't know.
This is the time.
I guess first I want to thank the Parks Advisory Board and all of our volunteers for a great open house our police and fire departments as well for having such a great Halloween open house. That was outstanding. Too many people to thank, but my family thoroughly enjoyed it, and it's just very encouraging to see so many hundreds of people. I mean, the word of mouth has just really spread over the years, and it's really developed into a nice tradition. So.
It did make the news.
It did. Oh, good. 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 And how many hot dogs, Chief? You remember?
600
hot dogs. And that's, I mean, only some people got hot dogs. I mean, they were too busy.
I was there.
You didn't
get one.
Yeah, I
didn't get one.
Oh, my gosh.
It
would
have been 604, Chief.
Oh,
right. So we just sell. We gave away over 500. No,
cotton candy. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Sherry, I hope there wasn't a lot of time spent at the hair salon. I saw you and you're. Yeah. I actually thought you were wearing a Halloween wig or something, but it was. Yeoman's work, yes.
You did all of the. Oh my gosh. Your family. Oh my gosh. Oh,
no
yes,
idea.
Yes,
it was
yeah.
Fun. The kids are great. They got to see how it was made.
Oh, my gosh. They, yeah, these little ones, you know, seeing them eat that cotton candy, I mean, just, you know, they didn't even wait till they could grab me that. Speaking for my own. Yeah.
Two other quick points I want to make. First, on a somber note, I know that we did have a fatality accident. Just up the street here at Plum and Route 3, yeah. I don't know if there's anything really to say about it. I mean, do we know yet? Was it speeding? We don't know what the cause was yet.
Looks like it's speeding. Yeah. Didn't wear a seatbelt, from the car and the vehicle.
It's just a reminder that
the person was coming on Plum. I mean, not on Plum. They were on
Southbound.
Old three, right.
And plumb,
okay.
Lost
and lost control.
Because of the factor started in the Berkshire Township and in Genoa Township, and that's why the state patrol took the accident.
Okay.
But I believe the gentleman was a resident of the township. And I mean, it's just kind of a reminder that, you know, you never expect these accidents to happen close to home. You always,
right.
You know, especially
right.
Driving down my own neighborhood, I never think anything of it. But
right.
It's just a reminder of, you know, how precious life is.
Right.
And then just the last thing, I do want to call attention to the fact that we are presently situated probably about a mile, I believe, from the new governor-elect's residence. A half mile, maybe. So we have
that's right.
Potentially the new governor's mansion and a sitting congressman maybe about another mile in the other direction. You know, I think regardless of one's political views. I think it's pretty exciting to have these folks in the township.
Certainly
I just
is.
Wish them both all the best.
Right. And we also have another statewide office holder in Delaware County.
That's right.
Current county prosecutor, Dave Yost. So we really, and I'm sure there were others.
We have a county commissioner, Dennis Stapleton.
Dennis Stapleton was sworn, will be sworn in Monday, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
New county commissioner, right.
A lot of good works by our residents.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely. Anything else to come before
no.
The board tonight? Okay, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
At 8:32 p.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carpon.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.